live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're still virtual. We're not in our studio where we normally sit inside Renaissance Bank because of the pandemic, but we're looking forward to being back sometime in the near future when that's possible. In the meantime, if you are a small business and you've got concerns about being ignored by your big bank, or even if you're, if it's a little bank that's ignoring you, well, I've got a bank that will pay attention to you. It's there, and they're the folks at Renaissance Bank. And I know this personally because of clients that I've worked with at Renaissance and the great job that they do with small businesses. So if you need a better experience for your business, go to renaissancebank.com. They've got 200 offices across the South. Take your pick. Or if you're in the North Fulton area and need a recommendation, email me. I'll talk to you about that. But be in touch with them. Their offices are open by appointment, so you can go in the office. You just have to have an appointment. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now an old friend who has lapped me so many times that it's not even funny. Alicia Butler-Pierre, she is awesome, and she is with Equilibria. And I said you're awesome before you can even prove that yourself. So go be awesome, Alicia. Tell everybody what you do.
Well, thank you. First, thank you for having me on this show again, John. I really appreciate it. Well, in a nutshell, what I do is I create business infrastructure for fast-growing companies, and that helps them make sure that they can sustain that growth and make sure that that growth can continue on in a profitable and repeatable manner. So that's in a nutshell what I do.
And business infrastructure is not, I guess, what you might call sexy. It's not like, right? It's not.
What do you mean, John?
Well, it's not like talking about marketing or branding or all that fun stuff, right? I mean, that people would rather talk about. It's really the nuts and bolts of how the business works on a day-to-day basis, right?
Yes, it is. It's what's going on under the hood, behind the proverbial curtain, in that back office. What are the things that are taking place to actually deliver your goods and services? I always tell people marketing represents the activities that are seen. Operations represents the activities that are unseen, but yet you experience them. As a customer, you experience the result of whether a process is good or not so good. So it does matter, and it may not be sexy, but we're here to change that.
Right, John? We're going to do it in the next 30 minutes. We're going to do
it. That's right. We're going to make everybody a believer.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that I love the point you make, because the discipline you're involved in here with business infrastructure is directly related to customer experience, and therefore your brand, because as this old saying goes, your brand is what people say about you behind your back. And so, right. So what your customers go experience because of whatever you've got under that hood, it all ties together.
It does. It absolutely does. And it's when we talk about business infrastructure and operations, it goes hand in hand with your processes, your systems. And sometimes that scares people, because it does mean getting into the quote unquote weeds, or having to really roll up your sleeves. And especially as CEOs or the leaders, we don't always want to get bogged down into the details. So what I tell people is, even if you don't want to get into those types of details, into that nitty gritty granular level of what has to be done step by step, find someone who does have that skill set. And who can come behind you and not question you, but I would say interview you on the different things that have to be done, what the level of expectation and service quality is, and get all of that documented. It doesn't have to be extremely formal, the thing that I always tell John, is make sure that once something is documented, that if you were to hand that over to someone else, that that person could, within reason, produce the exact same result. So the way you document that could be in the form of a checklist. It could be in the form of a flowchart. It could be in the form of what we call a standard operating procedure, where you literally write out step by step. It could be a training manual. It could be a video. It could be a very quick 3 to 5 minute video, but just something that actually captures what you do and how you do it, so that as you continue to grow your team, important details won't fall through the cracks. And that's what ultimately leads to a consistent, high quality customer experience.
Now, you say that business infrastructure is both a blessing and a curse.
Yes.
I'm very curious about what you mean by that.
So this actually ties back to that, the marketing that we've been talking about. It's a blessing in the sense, John, that there aren't a lot of people, and this is by no means an exaggeration, there are not a lot of people in the world that talk about business infrastructure. So in that regard, it's a blessing. But I'm not foolish enough to say that I don't have competition, because I absolutely do have competition. We all do. It's a curse in the sense that there aren't a lot of people who even know to go and look for this type of a service. And when most people hear that word infrastructure, they usually think of transportation,
right,
or they think of IT. No one thinks business infrastructure, but because I've been working so diligently at changing that, I actually celebrated a little milestone. It may not seem much to certain people who are listening, but it is a big deal. But business infrastructure is now officially a hashtag on LinkedIn.
And you were responsible for that, probably. Yes. Number one on that list to make that happen, right?
It officially happened last month, so June 2020.
Congratulations.
Yes. So it's starting to pay off.
Congratulations. We're going to get into some of what you did to make that pay off, because that's part of what you can help share with people, certainly, is some of the aspects of that. But let's talk a little bit more, though, about, I guess we're in a pandemic environment and people's priorities have changed. Certainly our customers have changed in terms of their priorities. And that makes business owners, some of which are just concerned about their being in business, I guess, at this point. How should business owners think about business infrastructure in a pandemic environment where a lot of the ways they operate have changed?
Wow. Well, it depends on where they may be in terms of business. And let me explain what I mean. Not everyone is struggling right now. Not every business is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Charmin, Bounty. You know, so if you're in the toilet tissue and paper towel business right now, you're doing very well. So there are a lot of companies that have, there are some companies that have an issue of not being able to have enough customers come through the door. For example, restaurants, ride sharing services, airlines. But then you have those companies that have the exact opposite issue. They have more business than they can handle, and it's coming fast and furious. And they're just at a point where they're starting to stabilize their operations. So companies that are producing or manufacturing, again, toilet tissue, paper towels, masks, companies, guns and ammunition. So those two types of companies have two very different realities. The first type of company that doesn't have enough demand for what they're doing, for their goods and services right now, talking to them about business infrastructure, quite honestly, John, would just fall on deaf ears, and with good reason, because their focus would be more on the sales and marketing side. What can I do to rebrand, to promote, to better publicize my business? Or how can we even retool the company and develop new products and services just to be able to augment until we can get back to, if we ever do get back to a, you know, this thing called normalcy.
Right.
So they're in a completely different situation. I would focus on those companies in the second category, the ones that are fast growing, where their demand their supply, excuse me, can't meet their demand. They have all of this business coming in and they have to make sure that they have the processes, the systems, the tools, the technologies, and the people to be able to pull it off. Those are the companies that, in my opinion, are prime candidates for business infrastructure.
We're speaking with Alicia Butler-Pierre, and Alicia is the CEO and founder of Equilibria. I don't want to totally ignore, though, those businesses that are struggling, and they're
You're right,
and they're struggling. So I want to say something to those folks, because let's take restaurants for example. I mean that where they're they've had to change the way they do business from you know, a dine-in to, let's say, curbside delivery, right? And that's a whole new process. And
it is.
Right? And so taking the time to get that right, that process right, so you can serve that customer and do that flawlessly is really important, but it's hard to do when, as you say, the focus is on sales and marketing.
Right. And another, just keeping with the example of the restaurants, another thing for them to consider is a food truck. Mm. And to be honest with you, John, that's something that a company like a restaurant should have been thinking of all along. Mm. I would challenge every single business owner listening to this right now to think of the analog world versus the digital world. Mm. So I would classify restaurants as still being kind of in that analog world, basically meaning the service is provided face to face. But I would challenge you to figure out, how can I start to leverage more technology where I can still deliver or still provide these meals? They just may not dine in. Mm-hmm. So it could be takeout only. It could be, let me set up a couple of food trucks strategically throughout a particular area and make it known on the website that we have, or through emails or some type of, so even social media, let it be known that we're still in business, we're still in operation. No, you may not be able to dine in, but you can still do business with us. We are still open for business. So I think there are ways, and I'm actually glad you asked me to talk about that, because that goes for all of us. We can all think about ways that we can provide our services both in person, as well as, if not necessarily remotely, it set ourselves up to where there can be that contactless, but still in person type of interaction with your customers.
And what you're challenging all of us to is, whether we've been impacted by a pandemic or not, is we're all subject to a pandemic hitting our business. Maybe not a literal pandemic, but a metaphorical pandemic, right?
That's true. And so, that is absolutely right.
Yeah. And so it's important to think ahead as to how we can pivot and be ready for that environment.
And, you know, it's so funny you say that, because I grew up in Louisiana, so hurricanes were just a part of my upbringing. Mm. And there were certain things that we always did in preparation for the big one. Like Fred Sanford would always talk about the big one, right? His heart, this pending heart attack that was sure to happen.
Right.
But we don't want to instill fear in everyone, but you do have to think about, well, what does happen if there's a fire, a flood, a theft of some sort? What happens if there's a cyber attack? Two of my websites went down back in April, John.
Really?
And yes. And it was because of hackers. Hacking is on the rise. So it's interesting to see what has declined in usage and what is on the rise. And hacking is definitely on the rise. Mm. So it took quite some time to work with tech support to figure it out. And they told me, Alicia, you're going to have to beef up your firewalls. You're going to have to beef up your cybersecurity, all of these different things that, honestly, I knew I needed to have in place. This pandemic just made it something that I had no choice but to deal with right then and there. But to your point, it doesn't necessarily have to be a worldwide pandemic that can severely impact our day-to-day operations. It could be something, again, as simple as theft of some sort. It could be fire, flood, you know, some type of natural disaster, the loss of electricity for whatever reason, for an extended period of time, could severely impact a lot of the operations for so many different companies.
For sure. And that term black swan, you know, where you have that meaning a catastrophic event that comes out of nowhere. That's, mm-hmm. I guess that's the John Ray definition of that. There's a better, better stated definition of that, but it's that life once in a lifetime event, whether it's a pandemic or like, as you say, a hurricane, a flood, that business owners have most don't prepare for. Right.
Right.
And so it's, right. or a hacking, you mentioned hacking, successful hacking situation where the business is closed down. It's a matter of being prepared for that and having the infrastructure, to your point.
Yes.
That enables you to withstand that.
Right. So in my case, when two of those sites went down, so in business infrastructure, again, we're looking at three key areas: linking your people, your processes, and your tools and technologies. Mm. So the people, obviously, you need to have someone with some technical know-how on your team, whether you outsource that work to another consulting agency or you have someone in-house. You have to have, it's your digital storefront. And when it's compromised, you have to, it can be catastrophic because you may have all of this traffic going to your website. And if it goes down, even if it's just for an hour, that can be catastrophic. Mm. Right. So that's the people component. As far as processes, do you have some type of a disaster recovery and business continuity plan in place so that if there is some type of a breach, for example, what are the steps that you can take to try to get back online as quickly as possible? And then as far as the tools and technologies, that again has to do with the different types of software, different equipment. Is there specialized furniture that you're using in that, you know, in the managing of, again, for a website? So again, business infrastructure is always looking at your people, your processes, and your tools and making sure that they're all linked, because when there's a change in one area, is going to affect the other areas, and you always need to make sure that you account for that.
Folks, we're speaking with Alicia Butler-Pierre, and she is with Equilibria. Now, Alicia, you work with companies in a variety of ways. I wish you would tell folks a little bit about that, how you engage with folks, and I guess maybe how they know that they need you. I mean, what characteristics in their business would say to them, hey, I need to be in touch with Alicia?
They usually come when they're in pain, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a common thing, you know, right?
I remember there was an entrepreneurial work training workshop years ago, John, and the facilitator asked every single participant, do you sell aspirin or do you sell vitamins? Vitamins are for those companies that provide goods and services where people will proactively go to you. For example, a massage therapist, you know, a chiropractor. But if you're in the business of selling aspirin, that means people are in pain and now they're coming to you. And that's what usually happens. So that pain, John, comes usually in the form of incredibly high employee turnover, a significant increase in the amount of customer complaints. It could be that they've failed an audit. It could be that they've had a license revoked. A lot of companies are very regulated. They're operating within industries that have a very high degree of regulations that they have to comply with. And those regulatory agencies will conduct these audits. And if you don't fit, a lot of these agencies, believe it or not, they actually look at, do you have succinct job descriptions in place? What types of records management processes do you have? Are there processes that are documented? Does everyone know what they're supposed to be doing? Is there consistency in the way your goods and services are being delivered? This is what lets them know that this is a legitimate, fully functioning business, and that it's actually in the business of what it says it or what it purports to be doing. So those are usually the types of companies that come to me. But by and large, I would say the number one pain point is that they have, again, that high demand issue and low supply. They have so much business coming in, which is a good problem to have.
Sure.
They have all of this business coming in, and they know that if they don't start to hire some people right away, they're in trouble. But when they hire those people need to know what to do and how to do that work. And that's why that business infrastructure is so critical for them.
And these are companies that you're talking about that more successful sales and marketing only makes a bigger problem.
Exactly.
Right.
So they have actually experienced a significant return on investment in their marketing dollars. Mm-hmm. That's not their issue. Their issue is not getting enough customers to come through the door. And it could be, John, it could be that someone has an interview on Business Radio X, North Fulton, and all of a sudden they get back to their office and their inbox is flooded. Or all it takes is one viral post on social media. I had a post that went viral last year on LinkedIn, and it took me 1 week to get through all of the messages and the invitations and all of everything that came along with that. So I tell people now, you're one viral post from potential disaster.
from hiring me, right? Yeah, I love that. Well, let's talk a little bit about you, because you're this is a good way to tell people all the different ways to connect with you and all the different things that you're up to.
Sure.
But you're someone that eats your own cooking in a way. Mm-hmm. Not in a way, you do.
I try to.
Yeah, you have. So talk a little bit about how the COVID-19, the pandemic, has affected you and your business and your own infrastructure.
COVID-19 has actually accelerated some things that I had in the works, John, but hadn't really pulled the trigger on yet. Mm-hmm. For example, so many people, for I would say at least the past 2 to 3 years, have encouraged me to create some online courses. But honestly, I wasn't convinced that there was an audience for it, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So I never pursued it. And I even at one point had developed an outline like, okay, maybe one day in the future, if I do decide to create these courses, I at least have an outline as a starting point. Mm. Well, now so many people have been using these different platforms to reach out to me asking questions. People will reach out to me through my podcast. They will contact me through my consulting company's website. They'll send me direct messages through Twitter or LinkedIn or even Instagram asking me very specific questions. And so then I started asking these people in return, if I were to create a course around this, or if I were to create some type of a group session where I could get a small intimate group of people together and for a reasonable fee, would you be open to that? Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm. So I've been experimenting with that, and it's gone over really well. And I don't know, John, that I would have had the same results had it not been for a COVID-19 type environment where so many people are working remotely from home right now. So that's one way that it's changed my mm-hmm. business. And I had been encouraging my clients over the years to start doing our work more remotely. And honestly, the benefit for me is that I'm able to work with companies around the world if my operations can be as remote as possible. But I still had some stragglers out there who still, you know, no, I'd rather you fly in and so we can see you, and it's better if it's face to face. And there's no argument there. There's nothing like being in the same room at the same time, having a brainstorming session. There's something very magical about being with someone face to face in person, but we can still accomplish the same things remotely. And so now I'm able to we have no choice. We have no choice now because of social distancing requirements. So it's been a positive, to be honest with you. It's been challenging trying to keep up with everything, but some of the things that I've been thinking about doing for a while, I'm now able to actually implement.
You know, I've got a problem with the term solopreneur.
Okay.
And you're actually a shining example of that. I may have to write this up because there
I'll
is
be your case study.
Yeah, you'll be my case study because there is no such thing as a solopreneur. And
I agree with you.
Yeah, you're an example of this because you pull in all these different folks who have experience at different aspects of what it is you're trying to do and leverage their expertise, right?
Correct. So,
and that's a business infrastructure thing.
It is.
Right. So talk about that and talk about some of the details of what I'm getting to there.
So the technical textbook term for that is a matrix organization. And that basically means that you pull together resources, you assemble resources as you need them. And that's exactly what I do because that enables me to keep overhead as low as possible. So I outsource, for example, a significant portion of social media. I outsource a lot of my marketing and sales activities. So when it comes to website things, creating lead pages, creating certain ad campaigns online, there's someone else who's doing all of that for me. Web design, I don't do that. I'm not interested, to be honest with you, in learning how to develop and design a website. So there are other people who do that for me. And even when it comes to actual client projects, I don't get involved in every single aspect of the project anymore either. I've been able to figure out at what point I can get involved in a project, but what are the other activities that I actually can outsource to other people? And that frees up my time because I can focus on really growing the company, expanding it, and, you know, focusing on true business development instead of, again, getting bogged down into all of those details, administrative type details.
And how many times do you have someone say to you, I don't know how you do all the things you do?
All the time.
All the time, right?
All the time. And I tell them, I'm not doing this by myself and I have processes.
Right.
I just had a conversation with someone yesterday and he said, my God, how do you do all of this? And I said, I have processes. So a lot of it may seem as though it's taking a lot of time, effort, and energy. And it would if I was constantly doing things from scratch every single time. But I also have people who help me.
Mm. So how many... I'm curious how many different outsourced folks do you have that work with you? I mean, and what?
Oh gosh, you know, the list is easily at least 20 different people that I can call on because they have different skill sets. And that's the other thing I had to come to appreciate. Just because someone may be a great writer who may be able to contribute posts to your blog, for example, doesn't necessarily mean that that person is going to be good at social media.
Right.
Then within social media, you can have some people who are very good at posting on Twitter, but they may not be that great at Facebook and LinkedIn. So I have worked with a number of people over the years, and I've figured out what they're really good at, and that's what I outsource to them. Because it's very rare that you're going to find that super hero who will be able to do everything, you know? So you find what certain people are really good at, where their strengths are, and then just keep leveraging and capitalizing on that.
We're speaking with Alicia Butler-Pierre, and she is the founder and CEO of Equilibria. And I'm curious about this is more of a little tactical thing, Alicia. So whether it's the so-called solopreneur or someone that's just been un, un, ceremoniously and without warning dumped into their home out of their office building down in Midtown or something, working at home. And the best processes and infrastructure you can set up at home for working at home, because that's what you do.
Sure. And that's actually the way my company started, believe it or not. So mm-hmm. I was primarily working with people who operated home-based businesses, and they weren't disorganized by nature, and they certainly were not hoarders. They were literally having difficulty keeping the business separate from everything else that was going on in their homes. Mm. So there's two things that I would encourage people to think about as they continue working from home, especially if you're struggling with keeping your productivity and efficiency levels up. Think about your workflow. I want you to think about the things that you do on a day-to-day basis and think of it in terms of an assembly line effect. So when you first wake up, how do you start your day? What are some of the first things that you do in the morning as it pertains to business? Mm-hmm. And then throughout the course of your day, what is actually taking place? That's your workflow. And there are different systems that you can set up within your home office that can accommodate your workflow. It could be something as simple as having a series of inbox trays spread across your desk, where each tray represent a different stage throughout your workday. Mm. Or one tray, if you, for example, a lot of us, the work that we do is project-based. You may have a dedicated inbox tray dedicated to each project. That way it's visual, it's still in front of you, it's organized, and everything is right there and accessible at your fingertips. The other second important thing to remember when you're setting up different systems for your home office is to really think about, are you a visual person or do you want a paperless office? Mm. I would encourage people, don't focus so much on the aesthetics, because what matters at the end of the day, John, is are you able to find the information you need when you need it? For me, I'm a very visual person. So if it's not in front of me, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. Despite my best efforts, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. But I do also love keeping things digitally. So with the same premise, if it's not in my calendar, if it's not on my digital calendar, I will forget about it because my calendar on my computer is synced with my phone, and it just makes things so much easier. But those are two main things I would encourage everyone to focus on, is think about your workflow and think about what type of learner you are. Are you more visual, or do you prefer to keep things as digital or electronic as possible?
You've got a great book that you wrote, Behind the Facade. Mm-hmm. And I can't recommend that book enough, folks. So just go, don't hesitate, go buy it and read it, because there's something for everyone in there. No matter where you think you are, there's something for everyone in there. But then speaking of visual, I mean, one of the things you do in that book is you illustrate by telling stories. I mean, that's right. I mean, and that's people would think, oh my gosh, a book on the infrastructure, that sounds boring.
I know.
you make it so interesting. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. So the book actually contains, it's 9 chapters, mm-hmm. and 7 out of those 9 chapters are actual stories, as John said. And mm-hmm. what I was very intentional about with the book is making it, you know, because it's a 300 something page book, and that alone would scare most people away. Mm-hmm. But the book is not designed to be read chapter after chapter. You can actually cherry pick based on what you read in the table of contents, which chapters you would want to read. But it is a true how-to book. When you read this book, you're not going to be left wondering, well, I wonder how do I even get started? What's the next step? Or what am I supposed to do now that I've implemented these steps? What comes after that? That's not what this book is. This book is telling you exactly how to implement business infrastructure in your company.
Mm. folks, go get the book. It's an awesome book. And we'll give links here in just a little bit. But you also, Alicia, you've got a podcast. Talk a little bit about your podcast and how you use that to build your business.
Well, it has a really sexy name. It's called Business
Imagine that. you consistent brander, you. Yeah. Yeah. I like
nothing fancy here, folks. It's called the Business Infrastructure Podcast.
Yeah.
But it does have a subtitle, Curing Back Office Blues.
There you go.
I have so much fun doing my podcast because I literally get to talk to people around the world so that you know that I'm not this crazy woman on a, you know, this on this one woman mission to shove business infrastructure down the throats of all of these business owners. But there are people, and John, you've been a guest, but what's so beautiful about the podcast is that people are willing to come on and share their experiences, share their specific processes about things that they have implemented in their own companies or for their clients. And not only do they share those details, but they also share the resources that they've used. So if there's a certain book, podcast, workshop, professional organization, articles, they share those resources and those resources make their way into the show notes, which is available on the podcast website. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of fun. Recently celebrated the 100th episode. So
congratulations.
At this point, thank you.
Yeah.
At this point, I think we're now at up to episode 104 as of this recording. And I've interviewed close to 90 people, which is really hard to believe, in 8 different countries. Mm. And it's just a lot of fun. And there's a lot of knowledge sharing on this podcast. So if you come over and listen, make sure you have your notepads and pens ready.
This is where, and I don't mind saying, this is what when we at Business Radio X, when we talk to someone about doing a podcast, we talk about the value of being doing an interview podcast versus what we call a guru podcast. You know, the guru podcast being the one where you get on and talk the whole time, or I get on and talk the whole time, right? I'm the guru, as opposed to getting thought leaders throughout. As you've done the world, and you become, because you're willing to do that and make it about the guest, you become the center of that business infrastructure tribe. Congratulations. That's what you've done.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I do also do monologues. So the way my show is structured, it's structured into seasons. Mm-hmm. Every season has 13, it has a different theme. Mm-hmm. There's 13 episodes. So there's 12 out of those 13 episodes have a guest, and I close out each season with a monologue. And what's been so fascinating, John, when I go back and I look at the analytics, I don't even promote my monologue shows at all. Mm. But they are always on par with the other episodes that actually are promoted in terms of the number of downloads and plays.
Right. Well, and what you've done, though, is people are willing to give you that, right?
I think so,
because you've made it about the guest, it makes folks even more receptive to that end of season summary because of the approach you take to the podcast overall.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Congratulations on that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and you're proof of a lot of things, but one of those things is easy to start, hard to keep going.
Yes.
You know,
amen to that.
Amen to that. So I think I read the average podcast ends at about 7 episodes and Peter's out, right?
That's true.
And you've hit 100, so congratulations on that. That's just awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, folks, Alicia obviously is doing something right on business infrastructure. If by this time you don't want to get in touch with her, there's nothing we can do for you. But for those that do want to get in touch with her, which I'm sure there's quite a few, Alicia, tell them how they can be in touch.
The absolute best way is to go to AliciaButlerPierre.com. NorthwestBank.com. And that is a website that serves as a hub for everything that I'm into professionally. So you'll be able to see information about the podcast, my consulting company, the book. You'll also be able to get links to all of my social media profiles because I am very active. So if you want to connect, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and we can take it from there.
Alicia Butler-Pierre, I wish we had more time because I got a ton more questions, but this has been awesome. Hopefully we can have you back soon. Thank you for being on.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, this has been great. Folks, if you need some other kind of help that involves, and this is, see, so here's a few things that Alicia would recommend to you, that you've got some administrative tasks that you need to outsource. You've got some bookkeeping, maybe some marketing or a presentation to be prepared. Well, I've got an answer for you. It involves calling up Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels, and she will send. And by the way, Essie's a great networker. She put Alicia and I together, right? So we're going to shout out Essie for that. But she's got a team of angels that are absolutely heavenly, and they fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And you hire them on an ongoing or as needed basis. And they've been virtual for 18 years. The pandemic environment we're in is nothing new for them. So give Essie a call, 770-442-9246. Tell them Alicia and John sent you, and she will return your call right at the beginning, right? OfficeAngels.us is the website. Just a reminder, you can find our show on all the major podcast apps, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on all of them. North Fulton Business Radio is a search term. You can also go to NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com on our website and find all 250-plus episodes of what we've done there. And I would just ask if you would please go to your favorite app and give us a great review, because what that does is it helps people find the show so we can support the work of great people, great business leaders like Alicia, who deserve that recognition. So if you would help us in that regard, that would be awesome. And we would also appreciate your following us on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. We're at North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Alicia Butler-Pierre, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.